Okay, I wanted to share tonight a piece from the Sefer Eish Kodesh from the Pius Etzner Rebbe on Parshas Ekev. The Pius Etzner Rebbe was a Rebbe during the years of the war. He served sort of informally as a Chassidish Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was killed, Rachmana Litzlan, by the Nazis during the Holocaust. And somewhat miraculously, his writings on the Parshios HaShavua, the various drushas that he would give over the course of the war years, were stored, hidden away, and discovered after the war. And posthumously, the Sefer Eish Kodesh, the Holy Fire, was printed, bringing his drushas during the war years and the very, very unique perspective that he brought, trying to be mechazek the Jews who were going through the Shiva Maduri Gehenim, the very, very difficult times that the Jewish people were going through at that particular time. There are various other svarim which the Pius Etzner left behind, again, all focused on encouraging people during difficult times, but also providing hadracha, a sense of chinuch, and, you know, looking forward to children and young adults in particular, and how they can grow in their avodas Hashem. So in Parshas Ekev, a drasha that was given in 1941, Sefer Eish Kodesh, it's on page Kuf Yud. The Pius Etzner offers a very interesting and homiletic chassidish pshat on the opening pasuk in this week's parsha, "V'hoyo Ekev Tishmeu Nesa Mishpatim Ho'ele," pasuk famously says, "It will come to pass because you listen to these laws." V'shamar Hashem Elokecha L'choyos Habris V'yasach Chesed. Hashem will safeguard for you the covenant and the kindness which He promised to your forefathers, and He'll bestow it upon you. On the surface, a very straightforward pasuk. If you keep the mitzvos, if you keep the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good things to you. Very, very simple. Pius Etzner, digging away at the outer layer of the pasuk, suggests that there's an idea over here which can be very profound in general, but particularly when going through difficult times. Pius Etzner talks about the value of tsar, of suffering. We know certainly there's a concept called suffering, there's a reality called suffering, but suffering properly channeled, argues the Pius Etzner, can be a very, very powerful force for good things being brought into the world. And to that end, he quotes two Gemaras. The Gemaras may be familiar to us. In each Gemara, tsar, suffering, is channeled in such a way that it's an incredibly positive sort of thing. Gemara in Zvachim Daf Nun Gimel writes as follows: Ritzua Hoyso Yotso Michelko Shel Yehuda. When Eretz Yisrael was divided up among the various tribes, so there was within the portion that belonged to Yehuda, there was a thin strip of land that went in v'nichneses l'chelko shel Binyamin. This thin strip of land emerged from the area that had been given to the tribe of Yehuda, and the strip of land from Yehuda went right in, it entered into the portion of land that had been set aside for Binyamin. V'hoyo Binyamin had tzadik mitztar aleha b'chol yom l'notla. Binyamin desired tremendously to make that portion his own. It was frustrating. Here you are, right in the middle of your property, there's this thin strip of land that belongs to Yehuda. And the tribe of Binyamin felt very strongly that what can we do? There was tsar. They had a sense of suffering and of pain, that they wanted to take that thin strip of land and somehow figure out a way to incorporate it into their own nachla, into their own portion. Lefikach zacha v'nasa ushpizkan l'shchina. Ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was built in that thin strip, in such a fashion that although the Beis HaMikdash in part rested in that thin strip that belonged to Yehuda, part of the Beis HaMikdash rested on the side of the line that belonged to Binyamin. So in other words, says the Gemara, Binyamin's desire, which we have to assume reading the Gemara comes from a holy place, meaning under normal circumstances, if I have a tremendous, overwhelming desire to take your property and make it mine, I don't know if we'd consider that to be a very, very spiritual or positive thing. But in this context, knowing that this area generally would be the future home of the Beis HaMikdash, the desire of Binyamin to have the Beis HaMikdash in his portion was not simply a physical desire, a political desire, a land grab or anything like that, but Binyamin wanted selflessly to be the conduit through which the Shechina would be able to rest upon Klal Yisrael. And what brought about the realization of that dream, that indeed at least part of the Beis HaMikdash was situated on the portion of land that belonged to Binyamin. So the Piyazetzna writes, the Gemara is very careful to say that Binyamin was mitsta'er aleha b'chol yom, that the tribe of Binyamin felt pain, they felt suffering over the fact, they bemoaned the fact that they might lose out on having the Beis HaMikdash in their particular chelka, in their particular area. Writes the Piyazetzna, al yedei shirotza v'gam hoyo mitzta'er migodo ritzono l'chelek ha-kedusha. It wasn't just that Binyamin desired to have Kedusha in his area. There was pain, there was suffering. He felt the pain of the loss of Kedusha that could be his had things just worked out a little bit differently. That pain itself, argues the Piyazetzna, is what enables Binyamin to ultimately be zocha, to merit having at least a portion of the Beis HaMikdash being built in his chelka, in his particular area. I think, again, going back to what we said before, it's worth noting that the Gemara does not portray Binyamin as trying to engage in any tactics to make that portion of land his. Again, if Binyamin were to mount a political campaign, a military campaign, something of that nature, to try to take land that belonged to Yehuda and make it his, I don't know that we look so kindly upon that. That we would see as being, you know, a very, very negative sort of thing. Binyamin didn't say anything, but there was an inner pain that the members of the tribe of Binyamin felt. It's such a shame that we wouldn't be able to have the Beis HaMikdash in our portion, so near and yet so far. It's that feeling of pain. I think that's how you have to interpret the Gemara. It's that feeling of inner pain, which ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded by placing part of the Beis HaMikdash within the chelka, within the section that belonged to Binyamin. So that's one example, says the Piyazetzna, where we find that not just desiring something, but being pained at something's absence can be a very, very powerful conduit to bring about the very realization of the thing which is missing. A second Gemara, one which is even more famous, many of us know, where the Gemara describes at the end of Masechta Brachos the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is again condemned to death by the Romans for teaching Torah in public. They execute him in a horrific kind of fashion. They're ripping off his flesh with iron combs. And the Talmidim, the students of Rabbi Akiva, come to him and they ask him, again, the Gemara goes on to tell, it comes time for Kriyat Shema, and Rabbi Akiva readies himself to say Kriyat Shema, notwithstanding the tremendous torments that he's going through. Come the Talmidim to Rabbi Akiva, watching him undergo these torments, and they say, Rabbeinu, ad kan, Rabbi, are you really capable of mustering up the strength to say Kriya Shema under these terrible, terrible circumstances? So Rabbi Akiva answers, Kol Yomai Hoyisi Mistara Posik Zeh. My whole life, I was pained. That's the Lashon again of the Gemara. Kol Yomai Hoyisi Mistara. My whole life, I was pained concerning this pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'yohavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha." You should love Hashem with all of your soul, with all of your life. Afilu honotel es nafshecha. Even if God is taking your life away from you, nonetheless, you should demonstrate that tremendous sense of avas Hashem, of love of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So, kol yomai ha'isi mitzara. Pasuk says, "Says Rabbi Akiva, my whole life, I was in pain, wondering when I would have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah in the best possible fashion. When would I have the ability to display my avas Hashem, my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when He's literally taking my soul away from me?" And now, says Rabbi Akiva to his Talmidim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted me exactly this opportunity. Should I not rejoice? Should I not take advantage of this opportunity that I have before me? Here too, says the Piyazetzna, pay attention to the language that's used by Rabbi Akiva. Kol yomai hoyisi mitzta'er. It pained me. I was suffering. You know, I don't know if in English we would express it quite that way. I mean, even in trying to express the sentiment which Rabbi Akiva is conveying to his Talmidim, I think the English word we might use instead is, my whole life I anticipated, I thought about, my whole life I was contemplating, considering, or maybe even looking forward to, hoping for. My whole life I was suffering over this issue. In other words, Rabbi Akiva woke up in the morning and said, "Oy vey, I'm in pain. I wish I could give up my life, al kiddush Hashem, and demonstrate my avas Hashem in the process." Would any of us think forget about the fact that obviously even thinking remotely in those terms is something beyond us, but would we describe that as something that was painful to Rabbi Akiva, that he suffered from that? I think we would say, you know, he thought about it, he anticipated it, he hoped for it. But again, you come back to this idea of suffering. It pained Rabbi Akiva. He underwent some degree of suffering earlier in life, wondering when he would be able to reach this madrega. So the suffering, says the Piyazetzna here, does something else besides that which the suffering accomplished in the case of Binyamin and that Chelka, which ultimately became the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of Binyamin, the tsar, the pain and suffering that Binyamin experienced, ultimately led to the realization of his dream. It pained Binyamin not to have the Beis HaMikdash in his portion, so his dream was realized through the building of the Beis HaMikdash in his portion. In the case of Rabbi Akiva, it pained him to think about the fact that he may not be able to give up his life al kiddush Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only fulfilled his desire, but he gave Rabbi Akiva the strength to be able to endure that incredible test. The suffering that he experienced earlier in life gave him the ability to experience the suffering that he was going through at that time. Where are we going with all of this? So basically, based on these two sources, the Piyazetzna says, you know, there's an incredible power that pain and suffering, a sense of loss, a sense of feeling the void or the absence of something, can bring about a tremendous amount of kedusha and positivity into the world itself. And then he goes on to write these words. This is in 1941. Umihu ha'ish shelo yitzar bir oso tsaros Yisrael ko'elu. Who is the person who will not be pained and feel a sense of suffering looking at the trials and the travails of the Jewish people that we're going through now in 1941? Begufu v'nefesh, we're suffering physically, we're suffering spiritually. Umiu shlo yad velibo bir osok she'en chadorim ve'en yeshiva. Who is not pained by looking out and seeing that there are no chadorim for the younger children, there are no yeshivos for the older children, for the young adults? lo makom Torah, velo kibud shalom de Torah. There's no place where Torah is being learned or Torah scholars are coming together. Velo b'shoz zo bilvad batei Hashem nersu. It's not only now that these houses of Hashem have been destroyed. Rak es hazman hazeh gam lahaba yeira'e ki bachurim lom de Torah yachzeru. It's not just that there was a temporary closure. No, it's not just that everybody was on Bein Hazmanim, on vacation. But the situation right now in Poland in 1941 looks like that the Chadarim and the Yeshivos are not opening up anytime soon. Kama mehem nedar b'misos mishunos u'mumusei rav Rachmana Litzlan. And Rachmana Litzlan, some of the people who would have filled the Yeshivos have passed away in terrible, terrible, horrific fashions. Bekama mehem neltsu lefseis levakish ochel lohem. Others who are still alive are running around looking for food. Where are we going to find people to inhabit the Beis Medrash? Rachmana Litzlan, the former inhabitants of the Beis Medrash are either dead or they're running around worrying about survival. They don't have the ability to focus on learning. There's some former yeshiva bachrim who've gone out, he says, into the marketplace on Shabbos in order to try to make ends meet. What are we going to do? When are these chadarim and these yeshivos going to be filled up again? And he goes on to write about the fact, which very often is overlooked when we talk about the history of Jews in Eastern Europe, that in the years leading up to the Holocaust, there was a tremendous religious defection from the ranks of Orthodoxy. Many people who had grown up in frum homes left the Derech even before the Holocaust came on the scene. So in other words, the yeshivos and the chadarim were hurting even before the Holocaust. And then came the beginning of the Holocaust, and it just went from bad to worse. Prior to the Holocaust, prior to Germany's invasion of Poland, the chadarim and the yeshivos were suffering because of spiritual attrition. And then the invasion of Poland, and all of a sudden, you know, besides the spiritual attrition, there are all of the issues associated with the war, which literally closed the yeshivos and the chadarim to close, and made it very hard to imagine that any time in the near future they would ever come back together again. There's a very poignant note that was added by the author, by the Piasetzna himself, in 1943. So this was delivered in 1941. What's going to be with the yeshivas? What's going to be with the chadarim? Everything is closed. We have no reason to anticipate that things are going to get back anytime soon. And then in 1943, he adds the following note, which was printed as a footnote when they printed the Eish Kodesh posthumously. Dvarim anal nemru v'nechtu v'shnas tofshin aleph. These words were written in 1941. She'oz af shehoyu atzoros rabos umoros me'od, kefish iksas mehem niros v'hanal. As bad as everything was in 1941, Mikol makom od hayu yecholim lekonim aleim lesaper komets mehen b'tiburim ledaeg al anisharim v'livkos al ha'asid eich yivnu shuva chadorim v'yeshivas v'chulei af liyaseres l'chazik es hakayomim l'tara v'avoda. As bad as things were in 1941, things were still good enough that you could complain about the situation. There was still enough going on. Okay, the Jews were in ghettos, but they weren't being shipped off to death camps, Rachmana Litzlan. Lo came b'shli tovshin beis. Writes the Piasetzna, by the time 1942 rolled around, shikimat b'kiloyon charutz kalu kihilas hakodesh. The great communities of Poland were virtually destroyed. And then, ein dvarim, asher bohem nuchal lekonein al tzoroseinu. What we were complaining about in 1941 seems to recede into the background when put up against the death camps and the destruction that was coming into play in 1942. To talk about the biggest tragedies as being the chadarim and the yeshivas being closed in 1942, they had already moved past that. And the author himself notes that with sadness, that even the things that were bothering us a year or two ago have already now sort of been swallowed up in the greater tsaros which we're experiencing. Nonetheless, writes the Mechaber, again going back to 1941, we're experiencing tremendous sorrows, tremendous difficulties. We feel the void of the aspects of spirituality which were part and parcel of our lives. But we should realize, he says, that the very tsar, the very pain and suffering we feel at that void is the key to our redemption. Al yidei haratzon l'torah v'la'avoda, our desire to reinstate Torah and Avodas Hashem, v'atzar al hoharisa, and the pain that we feel over the fact that the yeshivas, the chadarim, have been closed, that itself, mamtik es hadinim, it sweetens, so to speak, the harsh judgments which has been rendered against us. Umamshich Yeshua beruchnius v'gufnius v'gula shleim al Yisrael. And that brings about a salvation, spiritual, physical, and a full redemption for the Jewish people. It's through the very suffering and the pain of loss itself that opens up the gates of Shamayim in order to bestow bracha upon us. Says the Piazetz that's pshat, coming back to Akev, that's pshat in the opening pasuk, al derech ha-chasidus, that's the pshat in the opening pasuk in the parasha. V'hoyo Akev tishma'un es ha-mishpatim ha-eile. Mishpatim means laws, but mishpatim also means judgments in the sense of a difficult judgment. If you really take to heart a difficult judgment, Akev tishma'un es ha-mishpatim ha-eile. If you're judged, and you get a clap, and you're suffering, and you're feeling bad, and you feel the pain, and you take that to heart, so then, ushmartem va'asisem osam, and you guard and you do them. He says, what does that mean? Pasuk says in Bereishis and Vayeshev, va'aviv shavmar es hadavar, when Yosef told over his dreams to his father guarded the matter, which Rashi there writes, that Yaakov Ovinu was anticipating, when will these dreams come true? If you're the recipient of mishpatim, of difficult judgments, ushmartem, O son, and you look forward to when all the things that were taken away from you were going to be restored, so then, v'shomer Hashem Elokecha l'chois habris v'yesach chesed. It's when you're the recipient of judgment, and you say, I want back, I'm in pain, I wish that which was taken away from me, in a spiritual sense, is restored to me. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow those very aspects upon you, and more. He's going to v'hevcha v'irachecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to love you, He's going to bless you. The very tsar, the very suffering itself, can be the key to the redemption. It's a little bit poignant to read these words 70 years later, because one might ask, as beautiful and homiletic as it is it true? Meaning, Piazetzna, very soon after writing this footnote in 1943, was murdered himself, did not survive the war. The great Jewish communities of Europe were decimated. We don't have to go into the terrible, terrible upheaval that the Holocaust brought. So one might very well ask the question, is it, perhaps a little bit of a blasphemous question, but is it true? Is the tsar, let's say that the Jews felt that tsar, that incredible pain, during the years of the Holocaust, over everything that had been taken away from them, what did it do? What did it accomplish? And without being a Navi, I think, just looking at history from the broad perspective, perhaps the answer is that it did accomplish, just we had to wait a few years. That pain, of that suffering of loss that the Jews experienced while they were going through the terrible, terrible years of the Holocaust, enabled Jewish life to be rebuilt after the Holocaust in a greater measure, with greater strength, which Baruch Hashem we're zocheh to see today. Again, with all of the problems and the difficulties facing world Jewry, to take just one aspect of the renaissance of Jewish life, I think it's undeniable that there's more Torah being learned in the world today in so many different venues than any time in recent history. That sense of loss over the yeshivas and chadarim that the Pious Ezra speaks of has led, decades later, but has led to a renaissance and a restoration of Jewish life. We don't always see that restoration and that renaissance right away, but the Pious Ezra is reminding us of Ishama. If we're anticipating it, if we're looking forward to it, it may be many years in the future. In the case of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, it was 22 years later until the dreams were going to be fulfilled. But ultimately there was a restoration, ultimately there was a fulfillment, even if they had to wait a little bit down the line. Obviously what we're going through now with the pandemic, it's not even a comparison. To compare it to the Holocaust, it would be ludicrous to make such a comparison. In one small aspect, the fact that aspects of our Avodas Hashem B'tzibur were taken away from us, and we're still slowly restoring both shuls to full operation, as well as yeshivos to full operation. It's a work in progress. I think one of the things that perhaps we can take away from this ongoing situation is that the more we miss the Avodas Hashem that takes place B'tzibur, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond by showering down brachas and kedusha upon us. We have to feel the loss in order to be, as much as possible, in order to be able to be zocha to get the brachas that come together with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless all of us with a wonderful Shabbos, and we should continue to yearn for that which is missing in order, Be'ezus Hashem, to get it back, kefil kiflayim, to a much greater extent than we even had it to begin with.